Howard, we're talking about life expectancy and how we want it to be really a quality life expectancy. If we're going to live long, we're going to want to be able to function in that body of ours. What did you find with some of your work?
Well, it turns out that most people who live to old age do so not because they've beaten cancer and beaten heart disease and beaten diabetes and lung disease and so on and so on. Rather, the people who are long-lived, they mostly avoided a lot of serious ailments altogether. So if you're living a long life, it generally means you're living a healthy life. Of course, there are exceptions, but we found that a lot of the diseases tend to be predicted by the same kinds of things. So we're not trying to just prolong a life of weakness or frailty. We're trying to look at the things that make people stay healthy and thrive throughout their lives, certainly into their 70s and 80s. Again, after that, the kinds of things we're studying probably don't play much of a less role.
For example, George Burns, aside from his cigar smoking, lived way up there. I think he hit 100.
He did hit 100, yes.
Yeah.
Bob Hope as well.
Yeah. Would you say that they had similar personalities? They probably did.
Well, they certainly did in the sense that they were very persistent and well organized. So you don't stay at the top of your field for many years without really wanting to and striving and striving and striving. And that was really one of the key characteristics we found again and again. And of course, they were well organized. They couldn't be missing their dates and missing their rehearsals and generally screwing up. Those are people who kind of fall off to the wayside. Their sense of humor, that's what most people would jump to right away and say, well, they laughed a lot and they had a good sense of humor. That's why they lived the longest. We didn't find that overall. It's great to have friends and fool around and joke, but as a life approach, it just was not what people think. And in fact, both Bob Hope and George Burns, they were not in our study, but some of the famous people were, those people, they actually had a very serious side to them as well when they were off stage.
You had the creator of the I Love Lucy show, Jess Oppenheimer.
We did. Jess Oppenheimer was one of the participants. The names of the participants are confidential for the most part, but a number of them have self-identified as being participants in the Terman mm-hmm. study, or sometimes in their obituaries it says they were participants. And one of them was Jess Oppenheimer. His idea. He worked with Lucy to create the I Love Lucy show. He was also a very smart guy in a lot of other ways. He invented one of the first kind of teleprompters that Lucy used when she was looking into the camera and reading commercials way back in the 1950s. So he wrote comedy for radio, and then he moved to writing and producing television shows. And after I Love Lucy, he worked on Get Smart. And that was kind of typical of the people in this study. They were smart, but they went into the appealing occupations of the 20th century, and showbiz was one of those in California. But it wasn't his cheerfulness per se that led to his long life.
Have you found that people who have a longer life expectancy generally act younger? And I don't mean like a kid or a teenager, but I mean, almost like the Peter Pan syndrome, where they just, they're a little more hip, they're into things, they come alive.
Well, certainly being involved was very important. So it wasn't in a superficial kind of a fooling around way necessarily, but, yeah, being alive in a way that's meaningful. So people who were involved in meaningful work, people who were involved in meaningful family life, people who were involved in helping other people, those kinds of things all made a big difference. So people who just were around other people a lot, that made a big difference, rather than the more brooding loner. And if you could really groove in your work and kind of get with things, really like what you were doing, of course, that made a difference. But that wasn't the key in many cases.
Every once in a while, I jump on the Internet, Howard, and I just look at the lives of people who had lived a long time ago. You know, whether they were in the 1500s or 1600s or whatever the year.
Uh-huh.
And you look at these remarkable people whose lives had an influence on all of us today, and some of them lived to the old age of 50, or maybe they cracked 60 in some cases. And I look at that and I go, I'm dead already if I lived during those time periods. I mean, we know medicine has changed things and things like that, but why do you think the life expectancy has gone up?
Well, I'm glad you asked that because there's a real misconception out there. And, you know, the life expectancy has gone up. You know, if Americans around, born around 1900 could expect to live till 49, and now it's into the 70s. But it's not from adulthood, the increase. It's because of reductions in infant mortality and child mortality. So, you know, go back even further, like you're talking about, you know, a lot of babies died, and a lot of children became sick and died, and a lot of young adults died. And so, really, even quite a while ago, there were quite a few people. If you made it to 50, you know, it was pretty likely that you would live to 70. So there were quite a few people in their 70s and even 80s throughout history. But it was the big improvements have not been all these medical cures. The big improvements in our society have been in nutrition and in sanitation and in vaccination. And, you know, obviously physicians step in and help and millions of people in wonderful ways. But in terms of increasing life expectancy, it's not mostly coming from late life medical interventions. It's coming from the prevention of childhood problems.
You know, with everything that's happening on this planet right now, and one day maybe the demise of Social Security, one says, I don't want to live that long. The question is, I guess, should we live long, or why should we live long?
Well, that's interesting. I could speculate. In the Longevity Project, we studied who lived long and why. So, you know, if you turn it into a philosophical question of whether people should, you know, I don't have direct data on that. But the people who were productive and involved in helping people stayed healthy and lived long. And so that's a reason right there, I think, that they were able to make a difference in people's lives.
I think people should get to a point where they live a life, and then we should do as we did in the movie Soylent Green and turn them into wafers and feed them to everyone. I'm kidding, of course. But.
Well, you know, that's what a lot of the results of the Longevity Project point towards, that how you can stay healthy while you're here, and then, you know, when you die, but rather than being sick and having all kinds of problems throughout your life. So we really are looking at the people who thrive, not just the people who lived long.
Absolutely. Can you blame someone who is really sick and they just want to die and fade away?
Well, I don't mean by blame. You know, sometimes people have infections or genetic illnesses, and clearly it's nothing they did, and you certainly don't want to blame anybody. And people who get to the point where they feel like they've lived their life, you know, that in my view, that's their opinion about how much they want to keep striving and get extraordinary medical interventions.
Now, these 1,500 children that were studied, they were all bright kids. They're all pretty intelligent. Why did Terman pick them like that?
Well, he wanted to see if he could encourage the intellectual leadership of society. So he was very concerned that, you know, like a lot of people are now, gee, is our country going to lose its leadership, and how can we get the best and brightest kids, and what should we do with them? Will they turn out to be great artists and writers and scientists and government leaders? And so he was concerned about that, so he gathered them up and started following them to see how they would turn out and what made some succeed more than others. So he has a lot of information about their careers, who succeeded and who failed. And Terman was pretty disappointed in some of them. He's basically said to them, you know, you were really bright and we put you in this nice study, and here you are, you know, you're trying to write the great American novel, but I don't see any sun rising here. It's just, you know, they were just, you know, he was really hoping to prove that he could encourage great things in certain populations.